It's back again. We thought it was dead, but it's back. It always comes back.
For today's Potoween episode, we are doing... Pete's going to revisit a story from his childhood, a spoopy story. It really puts the poopy back in spoopy, because this is a story called The Skeleton on the Dunny. This came from a book called Unreal, 8 Surprising Stories by Paul Jennings, which I remember my school library had when I was a boy. And the cover of it shows a scary-looking skeleton sitting on a toilet. So, it's not much of a mystery why I was taken by my first impressions of the book. And shouldn't be too surprising to anyone that I said, you know what? I think that might be for me. Look around the library and I'm like, what am I supposed to read? The Whipping Boy? No thanks. Charles Dickens? No thanks. More like Charles Dick Outs, huh? But I told a joke like that earlier, and Poon Master Flex was like, I just realized that I'm in for jokes like that for the rest of our lives. It was kind of a horrific realization. So anyway, I'm going to read this story for you. The Skeleton on the Dunny. Now, I haven't read this story since I was in, you know, somewhere kindergarten to fifth grade. So I remember liking it. I remember thinking it was a little scary. And let's just dive in. All right. So you want to hear the story of the ghost on the dunny. Everyone wants to know about it, so I'm going to tell it for the last time. I will put it on this tape recording. Holy shit, this works out perfectly. Someone else can write it down. My spelling is not too good. And anyway, I haven't got the time for a lot of writing. I am giving you a warning. This is not a polite story. Not gonna say it. Somebody should. If your feelings get hurt, it will be your own fault. I call a spade, and I call a dunny a dunny. If you live in Australia, you know what a dunny is. Oh shit, was this supposed to be in an Australian accent? Right. That's all I can do. If you live in Australia, you know what a dunny is. It is a toilet. A lavatory. Other names for it are throne, loo, WC, Jerry, and thunderbox. That's a good one. I have heard it called other things, but I won't mention them here. I am not a rude person. I just get to the point. Thunderbox. That's a good one. I thought lavatory, too. When I was a kid, I thought it was laboratory. Like you're, like, brewing up a science experiment in there of poop. Some dunnies are outside. An outside dunny is usually at the bottom of the garden, a long way from the house. If it rains, you get wet. If it is nighttime, you have to get a torch and go there in the dark. When you have finished, you have to pull a chain to make it flush. There are no buttons or anything flash like that. Anyway, I must get... Oh, there's a number two at the top. Get it, too. Anyway, I must get back to the story. It all started when I was 14 years old. My parents died in a car accident, and I went to live with my auntie Flo. So I think he's saying he got his period. She lived in the country at Timboon. Does Australia know how hilarious their names for things are? Timboon. I was pretty broke. Isn't that the guy who made Mortal Kombat? I was pretty broken up. Miserable, in fact. One minute I was as happy as Larry, with a mother and a father living in a big house in the city. The next minute, I was with Auntie Flo in the bush. Oh, I was so happy. Then my mood changed and I was with Auntie Flo in the bush. This is a period story. I didn't realize this in elementary school, but this is a story about a first period. Also, as happy as Larry? I've never heard that before. Auntie Flo was nice. It wasn't her fault. I just felt low because of what happened. That sort of thing is very hard to take. My new home was very old. It was a big wooden house with a veranda all around it. It had a tin roof. You could hear the rain falling on it at night. Inside the house, it was very dark, gloomy. Every doorway had wooden beads hanging down on strings. There were old photos all over the walls, pictures of glum men staring down at you. In the hall was a tall clock, a grandfather clock. It ticked loudly. The house was so quiet that you could hear the ticking in every room. For some reason, you always felt like whispering. It was like a library. School had finished. It was the holidays. There wasn't much to do. I didn't know anybody in the town, so most days I went hunting rabbits. Or snakes. Auntie Flo was very good to me. She liked me. Bob, she would say, you need fattening up. She made jam tarts and little cakes with icing and set them up on the table with neat napkins. She was a very good cook and very old. She didn't know much about boys. She let me go wherever I liked. She only had one rule. Be home for tea on time. I liked Auntie Flo, but I didn't like her outside dunny. 3. One day, Auntie Flo took me aside. She was waving a bit of paper and she looked very serious. It is very sad about your parents, Bob, she said. I'm worried about your future. If I die, there will be no one to look after you. She was a good-hearted old girl. A tear ran down her face. Anyway, she said, anyway, I have made some plans. This is my will. It tells what will happen to my things if I die. I have left everything to you. If I die, you will get the lot, the house, and my money. I didn't know what to say. I looked at my shoes. She kept talking with tears in her eyes. The only thing you won't get is a painting I used to have. You can't have it because it is gone. Stolen. It was in my family for a long time. It was worth a lot of money. Very valuable. It was a painting of this house. I wanted you to have it. This is a weird thing to specify. Hey, by the way, you get everything I have, but you're not going to get a thing that I no longer have because it was stolen. What a weird caveat. By the way, you can't have things that I no longer have. Does it fucking matter that it was stolen? I pretended not to notice her tears. Who stole it, Auntie? I asked. I don't know, she answered. I went away to England for 2 years. A man called Old Ned lived in the house and looked after everything for me. But when I came back, he was dead and the painting was gone. I asked Auntie Flo how Ned died. I don't know, she said. What the fuck do you know, Auntie Flo? I found him on the toilet at the bottom of the garden. He had been there for a year. There wasn't much left of him. Just a skeleton sitting on the toilet. I like that she feels the need to... This Auntie Flo gives a lot of extra information. You can't have a thing that was gone and stolen. Also, this guy died. And for some reason, I feel the need to tell you he died on the toilet. And that he was a skeleton on the toilet. Well, that was nice. Oh, 4. That was nice. That was very nice. Now I had to go and sit in the outside dunny where someone had died. Oh, yeah. It gives new meaning to the phrase, it smells like someone died in here. I didn't like going to that loo at the best of times. You had to walk down a long path overgrown with weeds. Trees stuck out and scratched your face. When you got inside, it was very dark. There was no light globe. There were cobwebs and no toilet paper, just a nail on the wall with newspaper hanging on it. It wasn't even worth reading the paper. It was only The Age. Very boring. Those cobwebs had me worried, too. There could be spiders. Redback spiders. Redbacks are poisonous. I knew that song about redbacks on the toilet seat. It wasn't funny when your pants were down, I can tell you that. I don't know what the redbacks on the toilet seat song is. I do remember watching an episode of Ren and Stimpy, and Ren was sitting on the toilet, and a spider started crawling up his back, because he was like in an outside porta potty or something, and I was just like, that's the worst thing I've ever seen. And I wish I'd never seen that, because I would never have to think about it. So now everyone else can think about it.
It's a spider.
There was a rat back on the toilet seat when I was there last night. I didn't see him in the dark, but boy, I felt his butt?
Bite.
Why is bite asterisked out? I didn't see him in the dark, but boy, I felt his bite. I jumped high up into the air, and when I hit the ground, that crafty redback spider wasn't nowhere to be found. I rushed into the missus, told her just where I'd been bit. She grabbed the cutthroat razor blade, and I nearly took a fit. I said, just forget what's on your mind and call a doctor, please, because I've got a feeling that your cure is worse than the disease. There was a redback on the toilet seat when I was there last night. I didn't see him in the dark, but boy, I felt his bite. And now I'm here in hospital, a sad and sorry plight, and I cursed that redback spider on the toilet seat last night. Does that mean it bit his wiener?
Why would he be sitting down?
I don't know, but, well, it wouldn't bite him if he wasn't sitting down. How would it get him? Oh, there's more. I can't lay down. I can't sit up. I don't know what to do. And all the nurses think it's funny, but that's not my point of view. I tell you it's embarrassing, and that's to say the least, that I'm sick. I'm too sick to eat a bite while that spider had a feast. Bite is asterisked out in all scenarios. And when I get back home again, I tell you what I'll do. I'll make that redback suffer for the pain I'm going through. I've had so many needles that I'm looking like a sieve, and I promise you that spider hasn't very long to live. There was a redback on the toilet seat when I was there last night. I didn't see him in the dark, but boy, I felt him bite. And now I'm here in hospital, a sad and sorry plight, and I cursed that redback spider, on the toilet seat last night. That's from someone's album of greatest hits, Slim Newton. That was my greatest hit. It was about a spider bit me on the bottom and my bottom got big. All right. Redbacks, cobwebs, stories about skeletons and no one around. I didn't like sitting there with the door closed, especially at night. At night, it was creepy. I mean, there's an obvious solution here. Just piss and shit outside. He said there's no toilet paper anyway. So, what's the point? One day, I was in the dunny paying a visit. There wasn't much to do. I started counting holes in the wall. A lot of knots had fallen out of the wood. They were little round holes that let in a bit of light. I had counted up to hole number 20 when I saw something that made my hair stand on end. Probably butt hair. And I was looking at me, staring at me through the hole. It was not just any old eye. I could see right through it. I could see the trees on the other side of it. It was not a human eye. I pulled up my pants fast. No one has ever pulled up their pants that fast before. I ran up the path and back to the house like greased lightning. I told Auntie Flo about it, but she didn't believe me. Rubbish, she said. There's nothing down there. It's just your imagination. 5. You can imagine how I felt. Very nice. Very nice indeed. Very nice indeed, I don't think. Okay. I was not going down there again. No way. Just think how you would feel at the bottom of the garden in the dark, sitting on a dunny where someone had died. Not only died, but turned into a skeleton. Then there were cobwebs, redback spiders, and eyes. Eyes looking at you through the holes in the walls. I made up my mind. I wasn't going down there again, ever. I didn't go there for a week. Then I started feeling a bit crook. I felt terrible. You're not looking well, said Auntie Flo. You've not been regular, have you, dear? You'd better have some medicine. The medicine fixed me up all right. I got the runs. I spent most of the day sitting down there. But what I was really worried about were the nights. Sure enough, it happened. I had to go to the loo in the night. I took a torch and went slowly down the dark path. The trees were rustling and something seemed to be moaning. I told myself that it was a bird. I hoped that it was a bird. It had to be a bird. At last I reached the dunny. I went inside, shut the door, and locked it. I had no sooner sat down than something terrible happened. The torch slowly went out. The batteries were flat as a tack. What? I think I should tell you what happens to me when I get scared. My teeth start to chatter. They go clickety-click very loudly. So there I was, sitting in the dark with my teeth chattering. I tried to stop it, but I couldn't. You must have been able to hear the noise a mile away. I started to think about creepy things. Eyes, bats, vampires, murderers. I was scared to death. I wanted to get out of there. My teeth were chattering louder and louder. Then the moon came out. Moonbeams shone through the space on the top of the door. I felt a bit better, but only for a second. I looked up and my heart froze. A face was looking at me, an old man's face. He had a beard and was wearing an old hat. He just stood there staring at me over the top of the door. And even worse, much worse, the moon was shining right through him. I could see through him. He didn't block out the moonlight at all. An old man in an old hat. I assume an old man's not going to wear like a snap brim cap or whatever, but that's fine. 6. I couldn't get out. The old man was on the other side of the door. I was trapped. I started screaming out, "Auntie Flo! Auntie Flo! Help! Help! A ghost!" The face looked startled. Then it disappeared. I didn't waste any time. I kicked open the door and ran out, but I fell flat on my face. I had forgotten to pull my pants up. When I finally pulled up my pants, the ghost had gone. I tore up the path screaming out for Auntie Flo. So just picture this from the neighbor's perspective, some kid screaming Auntie Flo running up the driveway. Again, after leaving the shitter. Auntie Flo didn't believe me. She knew I was scared, but she didn't believe there was a ghost. "Nonsense," she said. "There are no such things as ghosts. I have been going down there for 60 years, and I have never seen one." I tried to make the best of it. I smiled, a weak smile, but a smile. Auntie Flo did not smile back. She was staring at me. Her mouth was hanging open. "Bob," she shouted. "Bob, one of your teeth is missing. One of your beautiful teeth." I put my hand up to my mouth. Sure enough, a front tooth was gone, broken clean off. I knew what had happened. My teeth had chattered so hard that the tooth had broken. The ghost had done it now. I was starting to get mad with that ghost. Auntie Flo was upset. "You must have done it when you fell over," she said. She put some new batteries in the torch. Then we went to look for the tooth. There was no sign of it. There was no sign of the ghost either. The next day, we went to the dentist. He had bad news for me. "You'll have to have a plate," he said. "The tooth is gone, and the piece that is left is split." "What's a plate?" I asked. "Like false teeth," he told me. "But you will only have one tooth that is false, and you will have to look after it. They cost a lot of money, so don't lose it. Clean it every night and put it in water when you go to bed, and don't break it by biting string or hard objects. Don't be biting all that string." The plate cost $200. Can you believe that? $200! Auntie Flo had to pay up. It was a lot of money. She made sure I looked after that tooth. I had to clean it every night and every morning. She checked on it when I was in bed. Every night she looked at the tooth in the glass of water. If the plate wasn't clean, she made me do it again. She wouldn't let me take it out of my mouth in the day. She thought I might lose it. Well, that ghost had caused a lot of trouble. I had lost a tooth, and Auntie Flo had wasted $200. Oh, little did a young Pete know how true this would be to his life. Poop, skeletons, and teeth. 7. I didn't see the ghost again for about a month. I stayed away from the bottom of the garden at nighttime. I only went in the day. He didn't come in the day anymore. All the same, I made my visits very short. I did a lot of thinking about that ghost. Who was he? Why was he hanging around a dunny? I asked Auntie Flo about old Ned who had died down there. "Auntie Flo," I said one day, "you know that old man who lived here when you lost your painting? What did he look like?" She looked sadly at the place where her lost painting used to hang. His whole family's obsessed with this fucking painting. Of the house they live in. You know what the house looks like. You don't need a painting of it. I lost my place. She looked sadly at the place where the painting used to hang. And then she said, "He always wore an old hat, and he had a beard, a long gray beard." Old hat, you say? I knew at once that the ghost was old Ned. I felt a bit sorry for him. Fancy having your skeleton sitting on a dunny for a year. All the same, I wished he would go away. I didn't want to see him again, but of course I did. One night I just had to go. You know what I mean. I got my... You know when you have to take a shit? Yes. This is one of those situations sometimes like a comedian will start with like, "You know how you'll be doing this and whatever?" And I'm like, "No, I've never done that." But when it's like, "You know how sometimes you have to defecate?" I'm like, "Yes. Go on." I got my torch out and went into the dark, down to the bottom of the garden. I was scared, really scared. My teeth began to chatter again. They were really clacking. I was worried about my plate. With all the clacking, it might break. I took it out and held it in my hand. Uh-oh. There I sat, tooth in hand, and my real teeth chattering enough to wake the dead. I left the dunny door open. If old Ned showed up, I wanted to get away quickly. I didn't want to be trapped. I did the job that I went for, then I pulled up my pants. I reached up and pulled the chain. As I did so, I could feel someone watching me. My hand started to shake. Badly. The plate slipped out of my hand and into the dunny. In a flash, it was gone, flushed down the loo. What happened to your false tooth? I flushed it down the toilet. When I turned around, I saw old Ned standing there. I could see right through him, through his hat, through his beard, through his hands and his face. He looked very sad indeed. I didn't run. I didn't feel quite so frightened now that I could see him properly. He was trying to say something. His mouth was moving, but no sound came out. And he was pointing to the roof of the dunny. I looked up, but there was nothing to see, just a rusty old roof. What do you want? I heard myself say. Why are you hanging around this loo all the time? He couldn't hear me. He just kept pointing at the roof of the dunny. Then he started to fade. He just started to fade away in front of my eyes. Then he was gone, vanished. I walked slowly up the path. I wasn't scared anymore, not of the ghost. He looked harmless, but I was scared of something else. I was scared of what Auntie Flo was going to say when she found out my plate had gone. When you say it had gone. The next morning, I jumped out of bed early. I wrote a note for Auntie Flo. It said, Auntie Flo, gone for a ride on my bike. I will be back for tea. Bob. I set out to look for my tooth. I wanted to find it before Auntie Flo knew it was gone. I knew where the sewerage farm was. It was 20 miles away to the north. My tooth had gone north. Now this kid's going to inspect sewage. This is more appealing to young me and current me by the page. It was a long way. The road was very dusty and hot. The paddocks were brown. All the cows were sitting under trees in the shade. There was no shade for me, but I kept riding. By lunchtime, I could tell that I was getting close to the sewerage farm. I could smell it. It was a bad smell, a terrible smell. As I rode closer, the smell got worse. At last, I reached the farm. It had a high wire fence around it. Inside were a lot of brown ponds. In the middle of all the ponds was a hut. Inside the hut, I could see a man. He was writing at a desk. That man had the worst job in the world. He was sitting down working in the middle of a terrible stink, a shocking stink, but he didn't seem to mind. This is like me today. I held my nose with one hand and knocked on the open door. Come in, he said. What can I do for you? He was a little bald man with glasses. He looked friendly. He didn't seem to care that I was holding my nose. Excuse me, I said. Have you seen a plate? Has a plate come through the sewer? It was hard to talk with my hand holding my nose. It sounded as if I had a cold. A plate, he said. No, a plate could not fit through the pipes. It would be too big. Not that sort of plate, I told him. Not a dinner plate, a mouth plate, a plate with a tooth in it, a false tooth. Ah, he said and smiled. Why didn't you say? False teeth? Yes, we have false teeth. He went over to the wall. There were a lot of baskets there. They all had labels. One said pens and pencils. Another said watches. He brought over a basket and dumped it in front of me. It was full of false teeth. They were all dirty. They were brown. The man gave me a pair of tongs. I started to sort through them slowly. I felt a bit sick. I felt like throwing up. At last, I found a plate with only one tooth on it. My precious plate. It looked yucky. It was brown and slimy, and it stank. I thought of where it had been and where I found it. I didn't know if I could ever put it in my mouth again. I wrapped it up in my handkerchief and rode slowly home. When I reached home, I went up to the bathroom. I scrubbed that plate. I scrubbed it and scrubbed it. It got a lot cleaner, but it was still the wrong color. The tooth was not white enough. Next, I boiled it in water, but it was still a bit gray. That was as clean as I could get it. I put it on the table and looked at it. I looked at it for a long time. Then I picked it up and closed my eyes. I shoved it in my mouth very quickly. 9. Old Ned had a lot to answer for. He had caused a lot of trouble. But all the same, I felt sorry for him. It couldn't be fun hanging around a toilet. I wondered why he was there and why he looked so sad. I decided that I would go and see him to have a talk. I wasn't scared of him anymore. I waited until Auntie Flo had gone to bed. Then I took out my torch and set out for the dunny. It was very windy and wild. Clouds were blowing across the moon, the trees were all shaking, leaves blew into my face. It seemed a long way to the bottom of the garden. When I reached the dunny, it was empty. There was no sign of old Ned. It was cold out in the wind, so I went inside and sat down. I waited for a long time. The wind started to get stronger. It blew the door shut with a bang. The moon went behind a cloud. It was very dark. The dunny started to shake. The wind was screaming and howling. Then the walls started to lean over. The wind was blowing the dunny over with me in it. There was a loud crash and the whole thing collapsed. It fell right over on its side. Everything went black. When I woke up, the wind had stopped. My head hurt, but I was all right. No broken bones. Someone was bending over me. It was old Ned. He was just the same as before. I could see right through him, but he was smiling. He looked happy. He was pointing at the roof of the dunny. It was all smashed up. I went over and had a look. Next time on Helpful Snowman Potoween, the thrilling conclusion of the skeleton on the dunny. Can you believe I did this? Can you believe I didn't just now think to do this? See you tomorrow.
Goddamn ones. Now you're still a product. He numbers velocity. Devil off.